Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents The Courage to Be Rich, Creating a Life of Material and Spiritual Abundance by Susie Orman. The Soul of Courage. What would it take for you to change course in your life? For you to feel rich in every way possible, both in the way your bottom line numbers read and in your heart, your soul, and the way you live each day. What would it take for you to say aloud to yourself in the mirror, things are going to be different starting now? What would it take for you to believe it, to live it, to make it true? The single most important quality you need in order to change the course of your life is courage. A great deal of courage. Can you remember the courage it took to endure a setback or an obstacle in your own life? The unexpected loss of a job, the illness of a loved one, a devastating rejection from someone you cared about. That feeling of waking up in the morning with pain in the pit of your stomach, pain that stayed with you as you went through the day in a fog, wondering how you could possibly cope, how you could go on, let alone rebuild your life. But you did. What enabled you to go on was your courage. It takes courage to live with financial hardship, and unbelievable as it may seem, it takes courage to be rich. Why? Because choosing wealth as a goal requires facing everything about your money bravely, honestly, with courage, which is a very, very hard thing for most of us to do, but it can be done. What would you have left if you lost everything? This is my story. After working as a waitress for 7 years after college, I applied for and amazingly got a job as a stockbroker at Merrill Lynch in Northern California. To this day, I believe they hired me just to fill a woman's quota. But who cares? I got the job. My mom was very excited for me and a little scared too, I think. To celebrate, she gave me a necklace she treasured, made out of little chips of diamonds from her engagement ring, so I would look as if I belonged. She even went out and got me a proper watch so that people would think I had money and maybe even do business with me. From my first day, I was in a world very different from anything I'd known before. It felt like a dream to me, working in such a fast-paced office where the other brokers seemed so self-assured, as if it were a given that they'd make money, lots of it. But I did well, too, and I remember how proud my mama was of me when years later I was able to buy my first luxury car and another watch, this one made of heavy gold. I wore designer clothes and vacationed on private islands. And I kept on doing well, later accepting a position as a vice president of investments at Prudential Beige. Not long after, I decided to start my own business, and the doors to the Susie Orman Financial Group opened for the first time on May 1, 1987. I had brought in as a partner a close friend who was a brilliant expert in estate planning, and from the beginning, the office had a wonderful aura around it, one of strength and hope, and was nothing like the tense, pressured offices of the highly structured Wall Street firms I had grown accustomed to. Until the morning of June 22, 1987, that is, when we discovered our office had been robbed in a very intimate way. A woman working for me had come in after midnight the night before and cleaned out everything. My files, my Rolodex, all my computer programs and records, everything. I'll never know why. I spent the next few days stunned and in shock, trying to find my clients to warn them. I remember thinking at the time that it might take a month or two to sort things out, but I soon learned that reconstructing paper trails and seeking justice are time-consuming matters indeed. In the end, it took me 3 years and many, many days in court to resume my life and my practice. During those three desperate years, I lost all my courage. At first, I burned through a range of emotions, rage, self-pity, terror. Sometimes I doubted I would ever re-enter the financial world, thinking instead that I would go back to being a waitress. Maybe that kind of life, which I knew so well, was my destiny. Maybe I had been wrong to ask for more. I hid my fears and the truth of what had happened from my friends, and was still quick to treat them to dinners, the movies, whatever. Even with no money coming in, I deprived myself of nothing. I used up my savings and retirement money. When I had nothing left, I refinanced my house and began living off of that money and my credit cards. Debt, it subsequently took me several years to clear. I had once been poor, yet lived with spirit, courageously. Now I was living with the trappings of wealth, but had no money. I was living a lie. I no longer had the courage to be poor. But somehow, over those years, I found the strength to begin asking myself some hard questions. Why did this really happen to me? Who was I now that I had lost all my money? Who had I been before when I thought I had it all? How could I stop the downward spiral emotionally, spiritually, financially? I began looking at myself in a new way, too, and didn't much like what I was seeing. I had started to believe that because I made a lot of money, I was better than others. I had started looking down on the world, even as my money ebbed away from me. For me, the turning point came when I was sitting in a Denny's restaurant one day, thinking about everything that had happened. Suddenly, I looked closely at the woman waiting on me, and it dawned on me that she surely had more money than I did. I might have looked richer, wearing my designer clothes and with my fancy car parked outside, but I knew that the only wealth that I had at this point was a negative drawn in red ink. Looking again, I could see clearly that this waitress was also happier than I was and more honest. I was the poor one, inside and out. Where would I find the courage I needed? The courage to change. I drew strength from a spiritual quest I had begun earlier, which now began to occupy a bigger place in my life and thoughts. I meditated and contemplated the teachings of the masters with a hunger I hadn't felt before. Slowly, I began to consider all that was happening to me in terms of what God might want to teach me. If I could view these years as a gift to be unwrapped, I thought, I might find a way to feel enhanced rather than diminished, grateful rather than bitter. I thought, too, about my parents, the strength, and yes, courage, they had exhibited through their many hardships, and a motto I once learned that reminded me of the way my parents lived every day. Be a warrior, don't turn your back on the battlefield. And I decided I wouldn't. At last, after years in the court system, the case was resolved. Finally, I was free to move on. In retrospect, however, the inner battle to restore my courage was the battle harder won. The lesson I learned was that my attitude towards money had made me poor, and with that attitude, no amount of money could have made me rich. The wealth had to come from somewhere else, from inside. Money doesn't bring courage, I learned. In fact, it's the other way around. Once I took that lesson to heart, I began to rebuild my life. In all realms of life, it takes courage to stretch your limits, express your power, and fulfill your potential. It's no different in the financial realm. In a buy now, consume now culture like ours, it takes courage to make the decisions today that make us rich tomorrow. It takes courage to face up to the facts of old age and mortality and to prepare for them. It takes courage to live generously, regardless of your financial state of affairs. I've seen many times in my own life, as well as in my readers' and clients' lives, how easy it is to live within the familiar limits of poverty, however you define it, and within the limits imposed upon you by yourself or others. It takes courage to ask for what you want, and it takes courage to live honestly, wisely, true to yourself, and true to your desire for more. Dwelling on the highest, richest plane there is. What keeps you from being rich? In most cases, it's simply a lack of belief. In order to become rich, you must believe that you can do it, and you must take the actions necessary to achieve your goal. There is nothing wrong with wanting more. You do not have to feel guilty for wanting more. If, however, you deny the possibility that you can have more, you'll be making yourself a victim of today's circumstances, and the cost will be your tomorrow. Let me...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?